Amen. I can say it's good to be in the house with music. A song that magnifies the names. Do you have that this morning? If you can, you might have sing that during after the message. I'm glad I'm on the... Let's go. Chapter number one. Luke chapter number one. Luke chapter number one, we'll begin reading in verse 5. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a priest named Zacharias of the course of Ada. His wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both religious before God, or righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he had went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at that time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of God, of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw it, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Father, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to come to be in the house of God. Lord, we thank you for this season, for those that came by this way this morning. Lord, you know the needs and the hearts and the lives and in this hour of each and every one. God, I pray that you would help us. You'd visit with us. You'd touch us. You'd encourage us. We thank you, Father, for the songs that were sung. We thank you, Father, we can feel your presence with us this morning. And God, we just pray that you'd help us. Have preeminence this morning. Do that which you please. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke. Luke is little known. We know very little about this author, this one named Luke. We know that Luke was a physician. He was a caregiver. He was a doctor, a caretaker of that day. We know that Luke wrote not only this gospel, but he wrote the book of Acts. Luke was a Gentile. We know that Paul refers and distinguishes Luke from those that were of circumcision in Colossians chapter number 4. That makes Luke the only Gentile, the only non-Jewish, non-Hebrew to write any book in the Scriptures. Luke presents his gospel. He presents, he portrays, he shows us Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. We see that in this gospel. He shows Jesus different in a unique, special way than all the other gospels. The gospel of Matthew, it presents Jesus as the coming King, the King of all glory, the King of all ages. You come to Mark and it shows, presents, portrays Jesus as the suffering servant, the suffering one that came to die for you and I. You come to the book of John and it shows Jesus as the Son of Man, the Son of God, the only begotten Son, the Lamb of God. But Luke shows us Jesus as the Son of Man. And we find that in the account of the Nativity, the birth of Christ. No doubt the Gospel of Luke is its most detailed. It's the most informative of all the other Gospels. He alone reports, tells us of the unusual, of the unsupernatural way that the circumstances that surround Mary and the shepherds and the angels that tell us of the birth of Christ. It tells us of Simeon and Anna. And Luke also tells us this morning in this usual surrounding circumstances of birth of John the Baptist. 2 weeks ago, our pastor, he preached out of this text, gave us a great informative message on Luke chapter 1 and preached on the thought of not replacing your joy and your peace with peril and fear. Brother Nate on Wednesday night preached out of Luke chapter 1 on Jesus, that day spring, the one that came to give new life, that was going to be a new dawn, a new rising, a new day, and did a wonderful job. But this morning, we find ourselves back in the Luke of chapter number 1, and I think we'll see maybe a simple thought that would help us and encourage us this morning surrounding the circumstances of this one named John the Baptist. We find in our text there were several people mentioned. We find Zacharias, Elizabeth, we find the people, we find many characters in our text. But I see, first of all, the priest or the preacher in the story. Zacharias had a tremendous privilege. He had a great responsibility, a wonderful, blessed privilege to serve God as the priest, being the man of God of the day, the one that would come and serve God in the temple. This particular task, his particular temple, or his lot was to serve God in the temple. We know on this occasion, this service, they would be three priests. There would be one priest that would go. He would cleanse the temple. He would clean the altar. He would prepare the altar for the fire. One priest would go and he would kill. He would sacrifice that innocent animal, that innocent one that was going to die in place of the people. And he would sprinkle the blood on the altar. But then you come to Zacharias. He would come after they had left the temple and he would burn these incense on the altar. They would burn and they would arise. They would ascend to heaven into the nostrils of God, and it would become a sweet smelling savor. It was a desired lot. Out of all the lots of the priests, the one that to burn the incense, it was an opportunity only once in a lifetime. A desired lot, a great responsibility, a wonderful privilege. We find in our text that Zacharias was a faithful to his lot. He was a faithful to serve God. He was faithful to the cause and to the house of God. He was what we would call an outstanding Christian. He would be one that was faithful. He was one that was a devoted man of God. Verse number 6 tells us that Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were blameless. They were righteous and walking before God in the commandments of the Lord. But we find this great preacher, he's in the temple. He's serving God. On this day he arrived, he would have came and he'd have been dedicated to God. He was going to fulfill his law. He was going to be faithful to his Lord. But Zacharias in our text, he gets an unexpected visit. He gets an unannounced arrival. We find in verse 11, he's performing his duties. He's in the house of God. He's faithful. He's at his place. He's doing his law. He's doing his task. And the angel of the Lord appears. It's a manifestation, let me say this morning, from a power of high. It's a manifestation of a messenger from a far off country with a word from the Lord. I noticed Zacharias. He was there. He was in the temple. He was doing his lot. He was faithful to serve God. He was, let me say this morning, he was in church doing the right thing, being faithful and serving his God. But we find Zacharias has this unknown, this unexpected, this unannounced arrival from God. What interests me this morning, what draws my attention this morning, is Zacharias' reaction to this manifestation. He is not rejoicing because God shows up. He is not grateful. He's not thankful. He's not humbled. He's not praising. He's not worshiping. But I notice the Bible says he's troubled and fear falls upon him. We find that he's, instead of praising God and thanking God for the visitation from God, great fear and distress falls upon him. We see here, Zacharias had everything we long for in a church service. Zacharias, he had the church. He had the temple. He had the altar. He had the sacrifice. He was burning the incense, those prayers going up to heaven. And now he has the presence of the Lord himself. And we find this visible manifestation that the Lord's showing up to Zacharias. He's troubled, great fear. He's in distress. The Bible says full of fear. This preacher, this priest's reaction to when the Lord shows up in church. But I see, secondly, the people in the text. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. These first two priests, the one that would cleanse the temple, cleanse the altar, get the fire ready, that he would exit. The second priest that would kill the sacrifice, the animal, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar, he would exit. And now Zacharias is in the temple. He's burning those incense. And all this multitude, all the people, the hundreds of people, no doubt, would have been outside. They'd had a bowed knee. They'd been raising their hands to God, praying to God at this time. They would be praying. We find they're lifting their hands to God in the book of Psalms. He's offering these incense, the prayers for the nation, for the sins of the people, for the oppression that Israel is under. We find that he's asking God for the Messiah to come, and he's burning incense while the people's praying outside the house of God. It's a picture of prayer. In Psalms chapter 141, verse 2, the Bible says, let my prayer be set before thee as incense and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. All the people's praying outside. Zacharias is offering the incense inside. This day that God set aside, we find Zacharias has an unusual expectation. But notice, a visitation, but notice, this is a scheduled prayer. Verse 11, the Bible says, or verse 10, it says, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. It's a set aside time, a set aside place, a set aside day for the people to come to pray. Verse 21, it says, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. They're praying, they're waiting. Now they're marveled. They don't understand. They can't comprehend. They don't recognize or realize why Zacharias is inside so long in the temple. Let me say that these people, although God had showed up in the house of God, and although he's wanting to visit with his people and give them a great word, even though it was a scheduled time of prayer, it was required for them to be there, they were ready to go. They were ready to do something else. They were ready to go on and proceed with their lives. This gathering, this church service per se, it's the type of service. It's the type of meeting. It was such a great move of God. God's presence was so real. It was so tangible, so concrete. We find Zacharias leaves and he cannot even speak about it. I don't know about you this morning, but that's the kind of service that I long for. Where God moves in our midst. He shows to his people his power, his might, his glory, a manifestation. He comes to help and speak peace and deliver the troubled soul. And God move in such a way as we leave, we cannot even explain it. The presence of God. The power of God, the glory of God, so real on this day and this time that Zacharias is troubled. Great fear fell upon him. The people were praying, but they were ready to go. They had no desire. And I'm afraid this morning, we find that Zacharias, his custom, the Bible says, That was his custom. His custom was to go to the temple. His custom was to go to church. The people's custom was to gather outside and pray. But Zacharias and the people got accustomed to their custom. I pray tonight, today, this morning, that we never get used to. We never grow cold. We never go through the motions. We never go just through the rituals and get accustomed to coming to the house of God. He grew accustomed to his custom. Notice in our text, he's there. He's doing his law. He's burning his incense. He's faithful. He's doing what's right in the sight of the Lord, but grows accustomed. This morning, as we come to church, I pray we didn't come just because it's our custom. Just because it's the Christmas season or the Sunday before Christmas. I pray we come not because to ease and to soothe our conscience, our moral obligations. But as we come to church, just as Zacharias did and just as the people did, we came through those doors. We said, God, I'm hungry and I'm longing for the presence of God. Lord, there's something deep inside of me that's longing and yearning to see you. There's something, Father, that we're needing this morning. We live in a jacked up, messed up, upside down society. But Father, as I come, I need the truth. I need to hear your word. I need a visitation. I need your direction. I need you to come. You are our expected guest. You are our honored guest. And we need your presence. But I'm afraid many of us, and I see myself in this text just as Zacharias and the people. I want to preach on the thought just for a minute this morning. Why did you come to church? Why did we come to the house of God this morning? Hey, preacher. Hey, priest. Hey, Zacharias. Why did you come to church? The people gathered. The congregation gathered. Why did they come to church? Fletcher. Great people. Faithful people. But why did you come to church? I find three things this morning. I believe that Zacharias, the people, and you and I say, this is why we ought to come to church. Number one, verse 13. I come to have my prayers answered. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. What a blessing. What an honor. What grace and glory when the God of all heaven hears and answers our prayer. When He gives us assurance and gives us peace in our soul that He's listening and He's going to answer. It's not a prayer of Zacharias, some off-the-wall, out-of-left-field prayer request, but this was a specific prayer. It was from a specific person. Notice in the text, he says, fear not, Zacharias. He knows Zacharias by name. It's a prayer. Not only did he hear, but he knew the person. Zacharias and God had already been acquainted. They had already had a run-in. They had already been well acquainted. He said he's blameless. He's righteous. He's walking before the God. It was not Zacharias' position, his prestige, his prominence, his personality. But we find it somewhere along the line, just like you and I, Zacharias had to place his faith. He had to give his faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. I want to say this morning, I've never seen Jesus face to face. I've never seen Him and talked to Him as man face to face. I've never held those nail-scarred hands or bowed and kissed those nail-scarred feet. But I've already met Him. I've been well acquainted with Him. I know Him as my Father. I know Him as my friend. I know Him as a comforter. I know Him as a companion. I know Him as my Savior. I know Him as the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Zacharias. He knows Him by name. And if you're a child of God this morning, if you placed your faith in Christ, you've been washed in the blood that they sang about, He knows you by name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. And I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed, and He knows me by name. Every step I take, every move I make, every tear I cry, every prayer I pray, He knows me by name. And He knows Zacharias. He said, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. But what troubles me about this text is Zacharias, I believe, as we see, has given up on his prayer. We see in our text a prayer that he used to pray. A prayer, a petition that he knew God would answer. A request that he knew God would come and fulfill. But now Zacharias has given up. It's a prayer from distant past. A prayer from yesterday. A prayer that when God shows up, Zacharias has forgot about it. But God comes to give him reassurance that God knows you, God is listening, and God's going to answer. Zacharias argues with God. He said, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife is old. She's well stricken in years. I believe somewhere on the line, Pastor, that Zacharias has given up on this prayer. He'd given up on God to show and answer him. He'd given up on the answer. He had brought his prayers just like we do to the altar of God. He's laid his burdens down at God's feet. He's stained these altars with his tears. But yet, there years after year after year, there's no answer. There's no change. There's no response. God is not listening. God's not answering. And I'm giving up on my prayer. You know, many of you, you've been praying for that family member that's lost. You've prayed for that child or grandchild that's wayward that God would bring them back. You've prayed for a touched body. You've prayed to heal a disease. You've prayed to comfort a heart and give peace to a soul. I don't know, but yet years and weeks and months and days, it seems like God's silent, God's not answering, and God's not heard. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't lose hope, don't give up, keep praying, keep seeking, keep asking, keep longing, keep praying. Zacharias had gave up on his prayers. He said, God, I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. And God, it's past the time. Zacharias, I believe, needed to be reminded, just like we need to be reminded this morning, on what God told Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God's silent, yet God was listening. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, the last writing of the Old Testament to the first writing of the New, 400 years, God was silent. 400 years, God was not moving. He was not speaking to His people. He did not have a visitation. He was not stirring among His people. But I'll remind you, as Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, the Galatians, he said, I want to remind you of something. Even though God was silent, even though God was not moving, in Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that was you and I, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Although God's silent, doesn't mean He's not listening or not working. I'm happy to report to you tonight, God does not forsake, He does not forget, and He's not failed the prayers of His children. Zacharias is praying. He's prayed year after year after year. It seems like God is silent. God's not listening. So he gives up on his church, on his prayer. Our problem is this morning, we're like the early church in Acts chapter 12. They have been praying for Peter. Peter had been arrested. He's bound in prison. He's shackled in prison. And he's sleeping between two guards. They're gathered together in a house. They're praying for Peter. They're asking God to do something mighty for Peter. The Lord shows up. wakes Peter up. He says, Peter, follow me. He busts Peter out of prison. And now Peter's at the church. He's at the house. He's at the congregation knocking at the door. Some damsel by the name of Rhoda comes in. She answers her. Actually, she hears the voice of Peter. She runs and tells those that were praying, Peter is outside. They say, Rhoda, you're mad. You have lost your mind. Peter's in prison. Peter's shackled by four quadrants of soldiers. Peter's not in prison. Even though we're praying for him, Peter's in prison. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Peter continued knocking. And when they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Even though they were praying, they were not persuaded that God would answer their prayer. I want to be the Christian that when I pray, I believe. I want to be the church this morning. When this church prays, we believe that God will do wonder, miraculous, marvelous things in our midst. Zacharias, why did you come to church? Why did you come to church? I want to say I came to church, number one, to have my prayers answered. Number two, why did you come to church? I came to church to see His power displayed. Verse 21. The Bible says, when the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he seen a vision, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. Zacharias goes to the temple. He's in there for so long, the people is wondering, they don't understand why he tarried so long. And Zacharias comes out. Let me put it to you this way. Zacharias went in different, or came out different than he went in. He came out. He didn't come out as he was. He came as he was, but he left it different than he came. The people seen this, and they marveled. They were shocked. They knew that he perceived, he's seen a vision. They were in disbelief. They were astonished that this preacher, that this priest could go to the house of God, be changed, and come out different. I believe as we read this, all those many years, they've watched every priest. They've watched person after person after person go to the house of God and never be changed. And when they see this change, this power displayed in Zacharias' life, they marvel. You know, coming to the house of God, getting help, and leaving different than we came should not be an exception, but it should be the standard. It should be the standard for someone that's broken, burdened down, come to the house of God and leave with their heavy loads lifted. It should be the standard for some broken sinner come and leave as a blessed saint. It should be the standard for someone that's in distress, someone that's in great despair, but to leave well delivered. The power that was on display this day, it changed Zacharias' life forever. He was speechless for 9 months. 6 months in, his wife, Elizabeth, hears of the birth of, that Mary's carrying the Son of God. And the Bible says that she's filled with the Holy Ghost. They give birth to John, the forerunner of Christ. It changes the course forever. And it's all revealed. It's all made known on this day in the house of God. What a service. What a time. What about a place in your life where God has changed your desire, your direction, your destination forever? Zacharias, he left different than what he came. He couldn't explain it. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't utter a word to anyone. All he could say is, I went in different. I went in one way and I came out another way. You know, as a whole, in 2020, we have more resources, more knowledge, more avenues, more conveniences to serve God, to get in tune with God, to listen to God than ever before. But it seems over all that, we have the less power of God than ever before. Maybe, just maybe this morning, our churches as a whole is not overflowing, is not busting at the seams, because an outside world never sees anyone come in our doors and leave different than they came. I want to say this morning, it doesn't matter our position in church. It doesn't matter if you're a mature saint of God or if you're a new convert. Everyone here ought to be a candidate to leave different than what they came. I sat there this morning, I was thinking about little Carly. Carly Carter, great prayer warrior. She'd stand and sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How loving, how patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Is he working on you this morning? Are you a candidate to leave different than what you came? Paul knew it wasn't about eloquent speaking. He knew it wasn't about a dynamic preaching. He knew it wasn't about great knowledge, man's ability, man's knowledge, or religious rituals. He told a church in Corinthians, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." We come to church to see His power displayed. That power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Why did you come to church, Zacharias? I believe he came to church. He should have came to church to have his prayers answered, to see God's power displayed. But thirdly, to see a plan performed in his life. Verse 19. The Bible says, "And the angel answered to him, said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I am sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou shalt believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Gabriel tells Zacharias, "I'm going to perform a great plan in your life." We find 6 months passes by. Gabriel visits Mary, tells Mary in verse number 39, "And Mary rose in those days and went into a hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of the Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Here it is, verse 45. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord." Zacharias, Elizabeth, they're going to bear a son. They're going to call his name John. We know he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He's going to come in the power of Elijah. He'll make ready for the way of the Lord. It will be a plan that was performed in Zacharias' life, because he learned it was revealed to him in the house of God. And now we find Mary. God's going to perform a plan in Mary's life, in the end and through her womb. From eternity past, she's going to bear a son. His name's going to be called Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. The Bible says His kingdom, there shall be to no end, and He shall save His people from their sins. And there shall be a performance, verse 45, of those things which were told her from the Lord. It comes to pass. On that holy night that we're here celebrating this morning, those shepherds are on a watching, keeping watch by flock by night. The angel of the Lord comes and shines around about them and says, "Fear not, for I bring you good tithing of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord." On that night, those shepherds came to see those things which were spoken to them. And they left and began to tell the whole hillside. A few days later, we find wise men come. They come to give gifts of royalty. Gifts to a king of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They come to give gifts and to worship. The shepherds came to see and to tell. The wise men came to give and to worship. But this morning, as we come to church, we can come, we praise Him. We come and exalt Him. We come and magnify Him. We come and uplift Him. We come and glorify Him for who He is, for what He's done, and what He's going to accomplish in our lives. I pray this morning that we come to experience His presence. We come to have our prayers answered. We come to have His power displayed in our lives. We come to have His plan performed in our lives. And I want to say this morning, no doubt many of you've given up on past prayers. You've given up on God answering. You've believed at one time. Now you see it seems as time has passed. God's silent and God's not answering. But I want to say this morning, although He's not answering, He's heard your prayers. Let's stand this morning. Ryan, Emily, you girls, Randy, there you are. I didn't know if you had that song or not.